You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And welcome in, one and all, to another edition of the Pick'em Podcast here on the Block'em Podcast Network, an affiliate of the Fans First Sports Network. I am Vaughn Lozon, and as you can probably tell, Luke Ghiardi out once again with other obligatory things going on in his life, so we wish him well. Hopefully he can be back on for a pivotal Week 13 in college football. But before we get there, we got to get through week 12. And I am joined today by Dan Plucker, as always. Dan, how has your last week been? And I can probably guess the eliminator probably wasn't a part of it, but I hope everything else has been good for you.
Yeah, Northwestern, good on you. I underestimated you, just like everybody has been this year. They made their head coach official today. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday, so good for them for having a future. Looks like things might be turning around for them. Hopefully things will turn around for me in terms of my college football picks, because I think I'm 500 or worse the last 4 weeks, but that's gonna change this week. And also, just for reference for betting, bet primetime unders for the NFL. It's kind of insane. That's how I've been continuing to have winning weeks overall, even though I have struggled with my college football picks the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a quite interesting last few weeks for sure. But as it pertains to week 11, you and I both went 4-4 and even 500. Luke bested us by a single game. He went 5-3. So now I have a 48-42-3 record. You, Dan, are sitting at 46-44-3, and Luke is at 45-45-3. So we've got 8 more games to choose from this week, and we're going to start right. It's rivalry week in the Pac-12. We're going to start right at, what preseason, this looked like a much better game than it is now. But the point spread is quite interesting here in this one. UCLA traveling the short distance over to USC, and the Trojans, none of these teams are ranked, but the Trojans are 7-point favorites at home. I started last week, Dan, so I figured you could start this week. So who do you got winning, or at least covering, in this pivotal rivalry game? Could be, it sounds like it's going to be Chip Kelly's final go against USC as the UCLA head coach. So it could be a very interesting matchup to watch. So what do you got going on in this game, Dan?
Yeah, that Chip Kelly thing just adds such an interesting curveball to this game. The fact of the matter is, I mean, you said earlier this year, I mean, 3 weeks ago, this was a top 25 matchup. And since then, UCLA last week was puzzling. I mean, they were losing 2-7 Arizona State. They were 14-point favorites. Chip Kelly said that both Ethan Garbers and Dante Moore were available on, quote, an emergency basis, but then didn't put them in even after their third-string quarterback got hurt and their fourth-stringer was going 0-4 from the field. I just don't understand what the thought process was from Chip Kelly. And then he said, I think I'm doing a fine job, just for reports later in the week to say that he's going to be fired after this game. But I don't know. Part of me is wondering what's going to happen with Caleb Williams, too, especially as we're getting later in the week here. Because what is there for him to really play for at this point either? He's not going to win the Heisman. USC is not going to be fighting for a Pac-12 championship or a college football playoff appearance. And also, he's probably not going to play in the bowl game. This is their last regular season game. Not sure why he would play in this game either. Maybe that's something that comes out really late this week. But we'll see. And this game's going to come down to specifically, you know, that USC offense versus the UCLA defense, because either of the other sides are really, really bad at this point in the season. UCLA's offense sucks. So does USC's defense. So, I mean, whichever one of that, you know, rock in a hard place is going to be broken, is going to be the difference in this game. I like UCLA plus 7 points, though. I think this one's going to be a weird, weird game that Chip Kelly might pull out of his butt in his last performance with the Bruins. So I'm just going to be rolling on the defensive side of the ball and be picking the UCLA Bruins in this one.
Yeah, I thought about going that way. That's the way that Luke is picking this week. He also has UCLA with the 7 points. But I'm going to take USC to win and cover this 7-point spread. We were all on Oregon last week to win by more than 2 touchdowns, and they were only able to win by 1 touchdown. So I think this USC team does still have a little bit of fight left in it, even though it just hasn't went their way this season. They've had some inexplicable losses. They fired their defensive coordinator, but they did play a lot better than I was expecting last week against Oregon. And now that they're playing this UCLA team that, I mean, the reports, like we've been talking about with Chip Kelly potentially getting fired at the end of the season, and Dante Moore, this QB situation that they have unfolding, it has just been so weird and bizarre. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, where you have a 5-star quarterback freshman who was starting for most of the season, and then you bench him and like he's healthy and you're still not playing him. It's a really weird thing. And the emergency quarterback situation, like you brought up last week, I just don't know what's going on in his head or what's going on at UCLA right now. But to lose to Arizona by more than 2 touchdowns, and to lose to Arizona State by a touchdown and a field goal, the last few weeks have just not been going their way. And I feel like I just trust Caleb Williams and the offensive pieces that they have at USC a little bit more at this point than anything else that UCLA has going on for them. So I'm going to take USC to win and cover the 7-point spread. I'm not super confident in it, but that is just the way that I'm leaning. I'm definitely not going to put any money on this game. I would certainly stay away from it if I were betting actual real life dollars on this. So just for the sake of our fake little fun imaginary game here, I will take USC to win and to cover the 7 points. But we will move on to another in-state rivalry here. This one being in the Big 12, number 21, Kansas State. They are 8-point favorites as they travel to number 25 Kansas this Saturday. And I am going to pick Kansas State to win and to cover the spread as well. The Jayhawks, they lost their second string quarterback last week to injury in Jason Bean. And it sounds like he might be able to play this weekend, but I just don't see this one going particularly well for Kansas, regardless who their quarterback is. Kansas State has been absolutely on fire recently. They should have beaten Texas, if we're being totally honest. They completely botched that game at the very end of it. And they have the 10th best offense and 27th ranked defense, according to SP Plus. They haven't lost to Kansas straight up since 2008. And Kansas State has beaten Kansas by 20 or more points in each of the last 4 games. At this point, I think Kansas State continues to roll. Regardless of where it's played at, I think it'll be a bit of a hostile environment. I think there is a bit to get up for both of these teams, but I'm going to take Kansas State to win and cover on the road against their hated rival. Dan, what do you think is going to happen in this rivalry game?
Yeah, Vaughn, I'm right there with you. I'm riding with the Wildcats as well on the road, and mostly because it's Kansas. Kansas is just horrible against the spread, against Big 12 teams. They're 2-6 ATS this season in conference. And you mentioned a lot of things that I was going to. Jason Bean did get hurt last week, was in concussion protocol. Lance Leipold is optimistic that he's going to play, but even if he does, Kansas State's defense is number 11, actually, according to FPI, depending on what metric you use. And they're number 11, like you said, overall on S&P Plus now. And, you know, you mentioned as well that Kansas hasn't beaten Kansas State since 2008. Well, the margin has only been within 8 points twice in that span. We're talking 15 years, and only twice it's been within 8 points. I like the Wildcats. I think that they could honestly be undefeated this season. You know, that the 61-yard field goal against Missouri early in the year. The Oklahoma State game at Oklahoma State was their only real bad game this year. I think that they're much better, and they're playing their asses off right now. I think they're better than this Jayhawks team, and they should cover the spread, especially because one thing you didn't mention, their Big 12 championship hopes are still alive. The Wildcats kind of control their own destiny. If they beat Kansas this week and Iowa State next week, they have the tiebreaker over Oklahoma, over pretty much over every other two-loss team in the Big 12 right now. So if they went out, they're playing Texas again in the Big 12 championship game. So I will take Kansas State as well, because they have that motivation to win this game.
Didn't even know that aspect, Dan. you got me there. So yeah, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, we're all riding Kansas State. Luke's got Kansas State as well. So I think that's probably the way to go with this one. I may actually put some money on this one, quite frankly.
I think Kansas State.
Yeah, I mean, this one seems like a sure bet if there is one this weekend in college football. We'll stick with the Big 12 here with this next selection as number 7 Texas. They've been in a few interesting situations in the second half of football games over the last few weeks. They are 7.5-point favorites as they travel to Iowa State, that team that you just mentioned there when talking about Kansas State. Again, 7.5-point favorites for Texas. Dan, which side are you leaning here? Are you leaning with the Longhorns, or are you riding with the home dog in the Cyclones?
Yeah, I'm going with the home dog and the Cyclones, because people forget this Texas team beat Iowa State by only 3 points in Austin last season. And the Cyclones have actually won 3 of their last 4 games in this matchup. Just outside of that game in Tuscaloosa, the Longhorns have been bad on the road. Not just like mediocre. They've been bad. They almost lost to Houston. I know that some of those games are without Quinn Ewers, but even so, I mean, this team should have been able to roll over. Houston specifically is the one that I have in mind. And some of those other games that they've had in the last couple of weeks. And if the Longhorns start slow, I think there's a chance that Iowa State gets a lead, makes this game really ugly, and keeps things close. Iowa State's 4-1 in their last 5 games against the spread while playing Texas, and Texas is 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 games. I like the under, which is at 47.5, and I like the Cyclones with the points at home under the lights with a late start on Fox.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, man, I'm going with Iowa State, too. If you're going to give me a home underdog and I'm getting not only a touchdown, but also the hook, I'm going to take that. I mean, not only that, but like I said at the open there, Texas has been in some tight contests over the last month, and they go on the road for a second straight week. You mentioned it's another under the lights game, primetime kickoff on the road. I mean, they had this exact same situation last week and they almost blew it to TCU. Iowa State also has one of the best defenses sneakily in America. It's ranked number 10 on SP Plus, number 34 overall rush defense, and number 34 overall pass defense as well. So they are about as consistent as it gets defensively. Quinn Ewers is going to have to step it up a tad bit more this week and going forward as well, because Texas lost their starting running back, Jonathan Brooks, to a torn ACL in that game last week against TCU. So I think they're going to have to kind of rediscover what their offense is like. I think they're going to have to predicate it more on the shoulders of Quinn Ewers. And in those situations, it seems like Steve Sarkisian just for some reason hasn't wanted to do that, but I think he's going to have to start doing that starting this week with Jonathan Brooks gone for the rest of the season. So I'm interested to see how Texas responds to all of this, but I am going to pick Iowa State with the points at home to at the very least cover the spread. Luke, on the other hand, is going with Texas. He is rolling with the Longhorns -7.5. So we will see how that one goes in the Big 12. Let's go over to the ACC for our next game, though, Dan. Number 10, Louisville. They have been one of the interesting stories in college football this season. They're in the top 10 in the college football playoff rankings, right at number 10, but they are just a 1-point favorite heading to Miami to take on the Hurricanes. And I am going to go with Miami once again to cover this spread. And I think they end up upsetting Louisville this weekend at home. I picked the Hurricanes last weekend as an underdog. They were a 2-touchdown underdog against Florida State. They ended up only losing by a touchdown. So I'm going to go with the underdog here again this week, another home dog with Miami. The only difference, like I said, I think they just win this game outright. They've got that a ferocious defense that just feasts on opposing quarterbacks. Louisville's offensive line gives up 2 sacks per game on average, and Miami got to Jordan Travis 3 times for sacks last weekend. So I think they'll be able to do that once again, especially with this game being at home. I think that's going to just juice it up a little bit more. Tyler Van Dyke, offensively, he was benched and then forced to go back in after Emery Williams, their freshman, suffered a season-ending injury. I kind of think he's going to have a fire lit inside him after all that happened. I think he's got a little bit to prove coming back from the bench. And I think he's going to be able to get it done this weekend have one of the bigger upsets in college football this season, especially this weekend. So I will pick Miami to not only cover, but to also upset the Cardinals at home. Very well may bet this one as well on the money line. We'll see if I'm getting dicey, rolling the dice with this one. But Dan, where do you see this one heading? Do you see Miami also upsetting Louisville, or do you think that they continue their winning ways?
Yeah, I'm right there with you again, Vaughn. I already have put money on the money line for Miami game. This is the third time that I've done so this season, each time with them being home dogs against the spread. That was the Clemson upset and also their win over Texas A&M earlier this season, which I guess could have been considered an upset as well, even though looking back, it probably isn't. And Louisville, I mean, they've somehow played all but 2 games at home this season. Those 2 games were at NC State, where they won by only 3 points, and then a loss to Pittsburgh by 17. I've been impressed with Miami several times this season. Obviously, they covered last week against Florida State. You mentioned Tyler Van Dyke being back at quarterback, too. That's a huge thing for them at home. He's completing 71.6% of his passes at home compared to 60.7% on the road. Miami has a 53.7% chance of beating Louisville in this game, according to ESPN analytics, and I like him too. I'll take him +1. I'll take a money line. I would maybe even go alternate spread here and give him like a -2.5, just to see what those odds are like. I don't have them on top of hand, but I have him winning outright in this game.
Yeah, Luke's right there with us. He's got Miami covering this with the 1 point as well. On DraftKings right now on the money line, it's -108 for Miami on the money line and -112 for Louisville. also on the money line. So, yeah, I mean, if there is like a bet to be made, the alternate spread, if you're looking to do 2.5, Dan, let's see, 2.5 for Miami to, it would be plus 109. So I think those probably are the better odds to do. I mean, if they're going to win, you assume they're probably going to do it by a field goal or so.
At least, yeah.
That's probably the move. So I very well might do that. I mean, you bring up a good point with the alternate spread. So we'll see what I do. But we're all riding the Miami train this weekend as they host Louisville at home. That'd be a huge upset if it happens. But let's go back over to the Pac-12 for our very next game. Both these teams are ranked, and this is going to be a really interesting one as well. Number 22, Utah, heads to number 17, Arizona. And the home team here, Arizona, favored by just a single point. And that is the way that I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Arizona to cover the spread and win, obviously, at home. Jed Fish has this Wildcat team playing really quality football. And they've been on a really impressive four-game winning streak with wins over Oregon State, UCLA, Colorado, and Washington State. And I think they're going to get to a fifth straight win. And this would be a really impressive one against a very quality Utah team. The only thing that I can really trust with Utah at this point is its defense. But Arizona's kind of already been tested by some great defenses over the past month. And their quarterback, Noah Fifita, he has been really good since their original starting quarterback, Jaden Delora, went down with injury earlier this season. Fifita is completing 73.5% of his passes. He's only thrown four picks all season. And this game's at home. They lost just one game at home all season. And that was by a single touchdown to Washington. So I think they end the season on a really high note. I think they beat this Utah team this weekend, and they just keep rolling there. So I'm going to take Arizona to win and to cover the 1-point spread. Dan, which way are you leaning here? You got Arizona or Utah here?
Yeah, I'm actually going the other way. I like Utah in this game, and it's because I've been pretty impressed with their explosiveness on offense the last couple weeks. Bryson Barnes has done some nice things, I think, filling in and being that starting quarterback that Cam Rising was expected to be earlier this year. And man, how interesting would it be if Cam Rising would have come back and actually played this year for Utah with how great, you know, their defense is. And I don't know, they might have had a shot at maybe winning the Pac-12, but I understand Rising's decision to sit out as well. You know, Utah, they kept up with Washington. They destroyed Arizona State. And I like the development, like I said, of their offense just over the last couple weeks. Arizona, meanwhile, like you mentioned, they've defended their home field well. They beat UCLA, Oregon State, two really good defenses there, Washington State as well. But I think Utah's better than all three of those teams. And both teams are great against the spread. Utah's 4-1. Arizona's 5-1 in their last six. But Arizona hasn't won this game since 2015. I don't think that changes this weekend. So I'll take the Utes in essentially a pick'em game that's now flipped as well with them being dogs. So I'll take them +1.
Yeah, that's the way Luke is leaning as well this week. He's got Utah +1. So really interesting Pac-12 showdown right there. We will we'll actually stay in the Pac-12. Man, we got a lot of good games in the Pac-12 this weekend. We got number 5 Washington. Yeah, number 5 Washington. They are traveling to number 11 Oregon State. I mean, we talk about good Pac-12 games. This is the Pac-12 game of the week. The interesting part here is that Oregon State is 2.5-point favorites after starting the week as underdogs. So, man, I mean, I am very, very curious to see which way you lean here, Dan. You got Washington still remaining undefeated on the season, or do you think Oregon State pulls off this upset and wins and covers the spread?
Yeah, like you said, this line flipped. It was 1 in favor of Washington, then quickly switched over to the Oregon State side as they were favored by 1.5. Now 2.5-point favorites. And typically, you know, when the line flips, you're supposed to go with the home team, even though I didn't just do that with the Utah game. But I don't know. I was sitting there looking at this and I was like, wow, I can get Washington with plus odds this late in the season against an Oregon State team that's lost multiple games. Why would I not pick the Huskies? Like, why? This is one of the top five teams in the country. They're fighting for a college football playoff spot. I understand that Oregon still has hopes for a Pac-12 championship game, but I just think that Washington gets this done. They're one in Washington, albeit, is 1-4 against the spread in their last five times they played Oregon State. But in all of those games, they were the dogs. They've never been the favorite within that stretch. And I just have a feeling that Washington is going to be up for this game because they know it's their most important game remaining on the schedule. And if they win this one, they're in the Pac-12 championship. They're going to be playing for a college football playoff appearance at that point too. I'm going to take the Huskies on the money line. I got them at +110 already.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite way. I am going to take Oregon State to win and to cover this spread. I was kind of feeling this upset before the line flipped. I mean, Washington was favored at first, and I was, you know, writing this summary here, you know, for the podcast prep here. I was writing it based on Oregon State being an underdog, and now I get them as favorite. So I guess I'll still roll with them. And my rationale for this is that Oregon State, I mean, you look at them and you're like, okay, I mean, they're number 11 in the country on the college football playoff rankings. Like, they're a decent team, but you don't view them as like a true juggernaut among the college football playoff, I guess, contenders. But they, man, they're really sneakily good too. When it comes to SP Plus, they're number 13 overall on offense, number 28 overall on defense, number 16 overall on special teams. So they are just rock solid across the board. And they are also very dangerously close to being undefeated this season as well. There are two games that they've lost this year, all on the road and by a combined 6 points. So they very well could have been undefeated heading into this game. They lost by 3 points to Washington State in September, and they lost to three points to Arizona on the road in October. So this is very much a team that I feel like they are one of the better teams in this Pac-12, and I've bet against them a few times this season, and I have obviously lost money in those games that I have bet against them. So on the flip side, Washington's defense, their last 3 weeks, they've given up 33 points to Stanford, 42 points to USC, 28 points to Utah. I think Oregon State should be able to put up some points on the board. They got the home crowd on their side. They're trying to spoil Washington's season. I think this is a really tough spot for the Huskies here. So I am going to roll with Oregon State to win and to cover the spread. And Luke, on the other hand, is on your side, Dan. He has Washington +2.5. So that definitely one of the better college football games of the weekend. Really eager to watch that one. So we will move on and go to the SEC for another really important game here with CFP implications. Number one, Georgia, 10.5-point favorites this weekend, traveling to number 18, Tennessee. And this is mine, correct, Dan? I totally just drew a blank there. I think this one's mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll take first. All right, cool. Well, I am going to, unlike last week, I picked Ole Miss to cover, and that didn't go well. So I'm going to go back to Georgia. I should have never bet against them in any circumstance. I mean, they really turn it on against the better teams, against the better competition. And I'm not going to make the same mistake twice in a row here, even though they're on the road. I just feel like, until proven otherwise, I just got to roll with Georgia to win and to cover these spreads. I mean, this is not a very good Tennessee team. I know that they're ranked number 18 in the CFP rankings, but honestly, I feel like at this point in the season, they're pretty overrated. They just got demolished against Missouri, and I think they're a little overranked in the CFP rankings too. But that's neither here nor there. So at the end of the day, I'm going to take Georgia to win and to cover the spread, and that's just the way it's going to be from here on out. So Dan, what do you got going on in this one?
Yeah, this is by far the biggest game on Georgia's schedule, and it's not really close. Every other top 25 opponent they've played this season has been at home, and the Dogs have not been very good on the road. Auburn almost beat them earlier in the season. They didn't cover against Vanderbilt. on the road either. And this is just the fourth time and the last time that they will leave the state of Georgia with the games remaining on their calendar, because the SEC championship game is in Georgia. Tennessee was just embarrassed on the road against Missouri last week, but they're undefeated at home this year. They played really well last year at home as well. Obviously that Alabama win, and Georgia's defense is just not the same that it has been the last 2 years. I think their defense is still very good. Top 10, top 15, absolutely. But I don't know. I don't think that their defense is quite as good as it has been the last couple of years. They've given up points over the last couple of weeks to teams. The over set at only 59.5, which I feel like feels low for a Bulldogs team that's hit the over in 6 of their last 7. Tennessee, 4 of their last 6 have hit the over. So I'm going to be rolling with the over, and I think the points favor the Vols to keep this one within 10 points, whatever it's set at currently. So I'm going to take the Vols and the points in a bounce back game for them at home.
Yeah, it's 10.5 right now, and Luke is favoring Georgia to cover this 10.5 point spread as well. Moving on to the final game on our schedule here, number 3, Michigan. Whether it be with or without Jim Harbaugh, it remains to be seen as of this recording. Regardless of who their head coach is, whether it's Harbaugh, Sharon Moore, Jack Harbaugh, it could be anybody at this point. They are still 19-point favorites heading back on the road for a second straight week. They go to Maryland, a place that they have had some successful games at in a recent memory here. So, Dan, which side are you favoring going into this one?
Yeah, I'm going with Michigan. I think the spread is far too low at only 19 points with the way that Maryland has been playing the last couple of weeks. 1-4 in their last 5 games against the spread. They beat a bad Nebraska team by only 3 points on a game-winning field goal last week, lost 4 straight before that. And Michigan, they've won by 3 touchdowns or more in each of the last 7 games in this series. So other than last year they kept it close, but before that it was 3 touchdowns or more of an advantage for the Wolverines in 6 of the last 7 of these games with Maryland. Ohio State beat Maryland by 20. Penn State had them by almost 40 in College Park just 2 weeks ago. So whether or not Harbaugh's on the sidelines, I don't think it matters. This team is going to continue to play angry and with a chip on their shoulder. I think they take care of business, play really well again against a struggling Maryland team. So give me Michigan and the points, minus 19.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm taking Michigan to win and to cover the spread as well. You hit on a lot of points that I was going to say. Michigan is pissed with or without Harbaugh. Whether even if they get him back, they're going to be pissed. I mean, they're going to try to take all of their anger and aggression out on Maryland and then Ohio State next week, and then hopefully the week after that, whoever they play in the Big Ten championship game. And then on the other side, man, I mean, 3 words again, second half Maryland. I mean, they barely beat Nebraska last week. Mike Loxley is just, I mean, I don't know what happens when the calendar flips to like October or middle of October, but his teams just underperform like crazy. And you would think that they would just continue to get better. And they've had the same quarterback, Tolia Tagovailoa, for what seems like a decade at this point. They're finally going to lose him after this season. So what is this Maryland program going to look like next year without Tagovailoa? I think it's going to be a lot different. And if we're already starting to see cracks in the armor, I don't think this Maryland program is going to be afloat for very much longer unless they just hit a home run in the transfer portal and get someone crazy. But I digress. So rounding back to this game, though, I think, you know, it's big noon kickoff. Michigan is going to be ready, whether it's with Sharon Moore, Jim Harbaugh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to take Michigan to win. I'm going to take Michigan to cover, and they are going to enter the game the next week against Ohio State at 11-0. So those are our picks for this week, man. I'm really excited. This is a great slate of college football we got, and really eager to see how these picks go. And, you know, really appreciate everybody listening to the Pick'em podcast this entire season. Hopefully we can get Luke back on for the final regular season a week of college football, and hopefully get him back for some bowl game. Bowl season as well. So Dan, before we log off here, where can everybody find you on social media?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Dan Plucker. That's PLOCHER.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Vaughn_Lozon. Feel free to give Maize and Brew a follow as well, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're all there, always posting a quality Michigan football content. And we got the basketball team rolling as well. Hockey also going. So, I mean, we've got articles out left and right. So give us a follow at Maize and Brew. For Dan Plucker, I am Vaughn Lozon. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time on the Pick'em Podcast.